Welcome to SEC Unfiltered, home of the best SEC content on the internet. The following is brought to you by our friends over at Prize Picks. Go download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com, and when you do, use the promo code SECU to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks is the simplest fantasy game on the market, focused around prop total entries. You pick 2 to 6 players, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. Prize Picks has no sharks, optimizers, or mass multi-entry guys. It's literally just you against the projection. They also allow mixed sport entry. So, for example, you can take the over on LeBron, parlay with the under on Mahomes. They've got college sports, pro sports, literally anything and everything you can think of. They have got it over at Prize Picks. They also have a slick, easy-to-use mobile app, both on the App Store and Google Play. They're rated 4.8 stars in the App Store with rave reviews as well. Guys, so many fans and listeners of SEC Unfiltered have made tons of money with our friends at Prize Picks, and you should as well. So again, go download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com, and when you do, use the promo code SECU to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Be sure to check them out and tell them that Chris from SEC Unfiltered sent you. Let's get it.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Talking all things Kentucky Wildcats spring football with our good friend Adam Luckett of KSR does a great job talking all things Kentucky Wildcats sports. And again, we do a deep dive into Mark Stoops' program. The Blue and White Spring Game just took place over the weekend. Again, Adam Luckett, Kentucky Sports Radio. Adam, what's going on, man? Appreciate you taking the time.
Not much, man, here on tax day in the Bluegrass. Well, pretty wild weekend, not just football, but basketball. We've had a kind of it's head on the swivel season, and now we're diving in the portal after spring ball wraps up. So excited to get our hands dirty a little bit and follow this portal thing that'll kind of consume, I think, the sport over the next month. But yeah, college football, man, it does not stop 247, 365. Wouldn't have it any other way.
I was going to say, Adam, it certainly never stops. The transfer portal madness is about to begin. But let's talk Kentucky spring football. We'll dive into the specifics of the Blue and White spring game here in just a moment. But the spring as a whole, obviously a lot of changes. Brock Vandegrift taking over at the quarterback position. Kentucky's got a new offensive coordinator, Bush Homden. We'll start on the offensive side. What have you seen, another scene, in regards to the progression of the offense? How did Brock Vandegrift fare, not just in the spring game, but throughout spring as well? And what are your overall feelings on what the identity of this Kentucky offense is going to be under Bush Homden? Do you have a greater idea of that after what you saw from the Cats in spring ball?
Yeah, I think when you kind of take a step back and try to unpack what we learned, or what was the message they were giving off to us in spring, what did they want out there? I think number one, pace of play was a big talking point last year. Kentucky was dead last in plays per game. Any way you wanted to slice up or package that stat, they were towards the bottom of college football. So a big thing this year was, we've got to play faster. I mean, it was a huge criticism, I think, of the program last year. So that was a big part of them playing faster. Even Liam Cohen, before he left, heading into the Louisville game last week of the season, even told us that, hey, we've got to really find a way to speed this thing up. And so I think that was the number one goal for them this spring, was let's learn how to play faster. They're not going to be anywhere near, I think, Josh Heupel, Tennessee fast. Maybe not even in the tier below that, but they want to get to kind of normal pace of play in college football. So that was a big selling point, or a big talking point, and a big, I think, thing they wanted to accomplish. In the two periods we got to see them, both in an open practice and then in the what was a mock kind of spring game this past weekend, back-to-back weekends, they were moving a lot faster. And so I think that was a huge part. That's something that's going to be different this season as they kind of get out of a more like the West Coast pro style offense they were in, and more of a modern type of, I would say, offense with Bush Homden at Kentucky. And I think Brock Vandegrift, to me, the whole spring was really about, or really this whole season is about, they don't necessarily need him to be a star. If he's a star, it'd be great for everyone. But they cannot have him be bad, right? If he's bad, the season's just going to sink faster than the Titanic. So they just need him to be a level of competent that can win games. And I'm leaving the spring thinking, he's at least got a pretty good floor, a high floor here. Worst comes to worst, I don't think they'll be terrible with him in there at quarterback. He can do some things with his legs, and it's something I think they're going to lean into more of, this modern kind of QB run game. Not necessarily run him a ton, but run a draw, keep it off his own reads, things of that nature. And then under Homden, I think really the plan of operation isn't going to be that much different. I mean, it's still Mark Stoops is still the head coach. They're still going to want to run the football. They're still going to want to play some level of ball control offense. They're not going to drop back and pass the ball 50 times. They're not going to ever try to run 100 plays in a game. So from that aspect, they still want to be able to, they've kind of built a reputation as being a physical offense that can run the ball. They've produced a ton of 1,000-yard rushers. Homden has done that his whole career as a coordinator. Every year he's called plays, he's had a 1,000-yard rusher. And so I don't think that's going to change per se. It's still Mark Stoops' offense in a way, but the style, mainly pace of play, it has changed, and it looks like they're committed to playing that way, where they were huddling all last year. I don't think you're going to see much of that this year. And so that was the big kind of takeaway on the offensive side of the football.
And so, Adam, that's a great segue, actually, you talking about the run game and what Bush Homden has done in previous stops and what he's done previously calling plays. It's a great segue into my next question for you. Was it sounds like there were encouraging signs that the running game and the offensive front is going to be maybe improved from what it's been over the last couple years. I mean, I feel like the bread and butter of Mark Stoops' program has been their best teams. They line up and they bully you up front, right? No matter how much things change, it seems like they always stay the same. And I just, from an outsider perspective, it felt like Kentucky, maybe not intentionally, but they had gotten away from that over the last couple years, or the running game had not been what we have been accustomed to. Do you leave spring feeling like this is going to be more of that traditional Mark Stoops team where they are going to have success and they're going to be able to punch you in the mouth up front?
Yeah, I don't think their identity ever really changed. It's just they had some offensive line recruiting misses that they struggled to kind of recover from. And that created the situation you saw in 2020 where Will Levis was a punching bag in the pocket. They just could not protect him, and they could not block up front in the run game. So, yeah, I think they're improved. The 2023 line was better than the 2022 line, and I think the 2024 line is going to be better. If you were just going to go and rank experience, Kentucky's going to have one of the most experienced offensive lines in the SEC. Their left tackles played like 1,500 snaps. Their center, Eli Cox, played 1,700 career snaps in his career. Jagger Burton's a two-year starter at guards, played like 1,000-something snaps. They brought in Gerald Bensie from Tennessee, who's played a lot of football. So I think they're going to be improved. Now, how improved is that? I don't know. I still think, at best, it's a middle-of-the-road offensive line in the SEC, but that is a good step from where they've been the last couple years. And we're going to have to see how it plays out. I mean, when the season kind of – when push came to shove last season, they just couldn't block people up front in the run game. And that was a big issue. I think their pass protection, I think they thought it was in pretty good shape. But run game, they just could not move people off the point towards the end of the season. And that was a problem for them. And so this season, can they do that? Can new offensive line coach Eric Wolford get them to maybe get to that next tier? And then what does, you know, having a quarterback that can run it, that can't hurt either. And so I think they feel good about the run game. True freshman Jason Patterson was kind of one of the stars of spring practice. He's going to be a guy that's going to factor for them. Now, to what level, we'll see. But it did not take him long to really start to get reps with the ones. And then almost after each week, they never stopped really talking about him. And then he looked good. He looked the part on Saturday at Kroger Field. So he's a guy I would say on the outside looking in, he's one maybe to watch for. Wouldn't be surprised if he becomes maybe a breakthrough kind of player for them this year. But I think they feel good about where their run game is. But it is a big point of emphasis for them. And they always, under Stoops, they believe in winning the game up front, winning the game in the trenches. And that starts with the run game. And that's being able to run it when teams know you're running it. Like being able to run it when it's third and three, right? Getting the first downs when it's third and three. And that's what they're trying to accomplish this year. And that's something that they really struggled with last year.
And Adam, that physicality and winning the battle up front, it applies to the defensive side as well. Brad White's done a really good job with that group. Kentucky was down 9 defensive linemen in that spring game on Saturday, including star Deion Walker. Talk about what you saw from the defense, because, of course, Walker returns. There are some impact guys. I know that Jeremiah Anglin Jr. was the defensive MVP. He looked really good in that game in the secondary. But how do you feel? What's the takeaway from the Cats' defense and what you saw during the spring, including that blue and white spring game on Saturday?
It's hard to really kind of craft a sensible, I would say, takeaway based on what we saw, just because they had so many bodies out. And the two times I saw them, seven projected starters didn't even play. So, you know, that's over 70% of your team right there.
Hard to draw conclusions.
And so for Kentucky, the big selling point and something they talked about heading in this year, there's continuity on defense. Brad White's been here a long time. And it's not just that. All their assistants have been here a long time. I think Chris Collins is maybe the newest one of the assistants outside of Mike Stoops, who already obviously has a connection. And he's been here. Chris Collins has been here since 2021. And he was just promoted to co-coordinator. So those guys know each other. They've been around each other a long time on that defensive staff. And Amar Stewart has been here a long time. Frank Bufano has been here the entire Stoops tenure, the safeties coach. So they have a lot of continuity there, and they're banking on that. And so this spring, front seven is supposed to be a strength. And I think on paper, you can make an argument it's the best front seven they've had from top to bottom under Stoops. I mean, they've got some guys there. They got NFL talent. And not only that, experienced NFL talent that have played football in this league. I mean, it starts with Deion Walker, obviously. But how banged up are they? That's something we really don't know yet, and something we're going to have to watch closely, I think, in the offseason. But the big question with defense is just the secondary play and the pass coverage. Pass coverage really let this team down. Last year, we really thought they'd add a cornerback in the winter portal. They did not do that. So where are they at in the secondary? Maxwell Harrison is a headliner. He's somebody they feel really, really positively about, and they feel good about their safety room, even though that room had a down year. And then their two starters, Lovett and Zion Childress, Jordan Lovett, Zion Childress didn't play this spring, were held out. And so where are they at in the secondary, and where they feel that? And that's a position, I think, if you look ahead to the portal, it's something they probably need to add, specifically a starting caliber cornerback.
Today's episode is brought to you by Unified Healing. Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. No matter where you are, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/SEC to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/SEC. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System. Adam, are there a couple of names that jumped out during spring ball, right? We always hear these guys from practice reports or coaches will be talking about, or maybe even other players of that name just keeps coming up, of a guy that, you know, it's not a guarantee they're going to pan out in the fall or be a star, but a lot of times we do see that happen, right? Those early rumblings become, hey, these guys become impact players. Was there anybody like that that jumped out to you, Adam, that you just kept hearing his name over and over again? Or maybe there was a couple of guys that they aren't household names yet that folks tuning in right now, hearing the sound of our voices, they should be keeping an eye on when toe meets leather this fall?
Yeah, to me, for Kentucky this spring, is really all about the signing class, the high school signing class they just had, 2024 class. That was a big class for Kentucky, because there were some guys in their backyard and in their backyard extended in Ohio that were big, like they were big recruits. And there was times where Kentucky didn't look the favorite in the recruiting process, and things ended up happening. Like Jim Harbaugh leaving Michigan kind of helped Kentucky in a way, I think, specifically with the Jacob and Gerard Smith recruitments. Mm-hmm. Those are two kids from Kentucky, but they went out of state for high school. They went to Connecticut to play at a prep school. So that was significant. It was also significant for Brian Robinson, a Youngstown guy. Mark Stoops from Youngstown, Vince Merrill, their top recruiter from Youngstown. So getting those guys were big. So overall, it was just the early returns were really strong on this freshman class. Jason Patterson was a guy I mentioned earlier they're really high on. He was committed to Cincinnati until November. So they were able to get him. So that was big. And then it's looking like that was a big win for you. Harley Gilmore was one, I think, we could look back and really, you have to really credit the kind of Scott Woodward and Liam Cohen, the old offensive coaches, for really IDing this guy early and making a move on him fast. He decides to reclassify. They get the first official visit for him back in June. Penn State, Miami, some others, schools sniff around, but there was enough there, I think, a stronger enough relationship. You get Kentucky in the lead early and they close on him. He's 17 years old right now, just turned 17. And he was, I think if you're ranking receivers, he might be fourth or fifth on Kentucky's depth chart right now, at receiver, just at 17 years old. Like, he's going to be a player here. Now, is it year one? Because, he's young, but they feel really, really high on him. So those were two guys, I would say, in the defensive side of the ball, Robinson and Gerard Smith, they both liked what they did, getting a lot of reps on the defensive line because of the injury. So to me, those were kind of the rising stars. It seems like a class where these guys are going to play. Like, you're going to have 9, 10, maybe 11 guys actually playing this year, where in maybe past years under Stoops, they really not they've had it more where it's two or three or four playing, the rest redshirt, whether it's like half of them playing. The 2022 class was one where all those guys played, and that was Barry and Brown, Dane Key, Deion Walker's recruiting class. And that's turned out to be a really strong class to this point for Kentucky. 2024 is looking like it can maybe have that type of impact. There's some guys, I think, that they signed, and half of them haven't, or a little less than half of them aren't even on campus yet. But some of these players have already shown out, and they're going to be factors, I think, for Kentucky, even if it's in just a rotational type of role.
Adam, anything surprise you this spring? Was there anything maybe you thought about this football team or a certain position group or maybe a certain player that you thought one thing and it turned out it was something else, or did everything go pretty much as you expected?
It went about like I expected, but the depth or the injury stuff, that threw a big, I think, wrench into things. Because that was one thing I think Kentucky could bank on coming in the year. It was the best defensive line room this program has had since I've been covering, or maybe even following the team. I mean, I think it's really, really good, and it goes up against, you know, you get outside of maybe Georgia and Alabama in the league, I think Kentucky defensive line-wise is up there with anyone if you were going to just sit there and rank groups together. So that is concerning to me, because that's supposed to be their biggest strength, I think, as not only as a defense but as a team, that front seven. And if that's not, where are you at? Is that something where they maybe need to go on the portal and look at? So that's one where I thought was, you know, lock, seal, deliver, write this down in Sharpie. This group is going to be a strength of the football team. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to hedge my bets yet, but I'm a little concerned about where they are and where they are health-wise at that spot moving forward into the summer.
Adam, let's talk about, before we get you out of here, the vibe around Kentucky spring practice this year. You know, I think Mark Stoops is coming into a pretty pivotal season. I don't know what that means in regards to how many games does he need to win or just how much pressure is there. But it feels like the pressure is kind of somewhat mounting. Maybe the program's at a bit of a crossroads, and it was certainly an interesting offseason when you had the Texas A&M ordeal where it looked like Mark Stoops was out the door. Then he's all of a sudden returning. I mean, what was the vibe around spring ball this year? And do you sense an extra – was there an extra sense of urgency because all parties involved understand what's at stake this season?
Yeah, you mentioned crossroads, and I think that's a good point. It would be a lot uglier right now if they didn't beat Louisville that last week of the season. Like, that was a huge win locally and for the fan base. So that bought them a lot of goodwill. And then I think they lost to Clemson, but going out there and playing well, I think, was – that was a good development, especially after the A&M flirtation. The program is in a unique spot because Mark Stoops is not close to being fired. Like, they're not firing him. He's not getting close to the hot seat. But I think fans are still relatively all in, but there has been more criticism about him. And if they have another 6-6 type year or 7-5 year, and you have to see how that 7-5 plays out because the schedule's tougher this year. But there is a point where he can maybe, I think there is, it's on the table where he can maybe lose a decent amount of the fan base where they could go kind of away. And like, that's what's really at stake to me. I think they've got kind of a unified front, especially support system for the program right now. And that's not going anywhere if they win, but if it starts to get a little sideways on them, that could start to go away. And that is that to me. That's what is at stake here. Stoops. I mean, the OC track record has not been great. I mean, they've had a lot of turnover. They've had to deal with there, but I think just bare bones foundation of the program is still in really good shape. They just got to put it together and win some games. And a big thing to me, I talk about that fan support. You look at their home record over these last 3 years, really since kind of around COVID. The home record, I believe that I don't have the number off the top of my head, but against SEC teams, they're like 2-7 in their last 9 or something like that. And in home games, and like, you got to win the home games, you know, that's huge. And I think that's something that's big on the table this year. They've got a couple games at home. Georgia's probably the throwaway, but you look at South Carolina and Auburn, on the outside looking in, I don't know if people will think those are big games, but quietly, and then they even have a Louisville at home this year too. That's another one you could throw in there. But those games are huge just because they haven't had a lot of good moments at home. And so they really need to start winning those games again. And so that's where Kentucky, if you're going to say they're at a crossroads, there's like this unanimous approval, I think, of Stoops overall that's kind of started to waver, I think, last year? And if you have a bad year this year, what does that look like when we're talking this time next year about where the fan base feels as a whole about the program?
Adam, last thing, and we'll get you out of here, back to the blue and white spring game. I know injuries probably played a factor in this decision, but there's always mixed reviews and differing opinions on this. Your thoughts on Kentucky's decision to not tackle to the ground in the spring game? Do you think that's something that maybe that's the future of spring football, right? We saw Ole Miss have a freaking slam dunk contest and a hot dog eating contest and play 7-on-7. Missouri didn't tackle to the ground either. Do you think that's the future of spring football, or is it something where you would like to see them be more physical?
Yeah, I don't really know the answer to that, to be honest. If the sport as a whole keeps expanding with the playoff, I could definitely see them going the Pro Bowl route. And I think from Kentucky's standpoint, they very much, to date back to your last question, they very much like, let's just put our heads down and go to work. No hype. Like they very much hyped up specifically the quarterbacks they've had the last 2 years and hadn't in the offense and hadn't worked out very well. Mm-hmm. So it's very much been a business like button up approach. Like, we're just over here practicing. You can come over here. We're not going to say much. And that's the approach they're taking. Just blue collar. Let's just go to work and be quiet about our business. And so I think that kind of went into the spring game. I think Mark Stoops, if you put him on True Serum, he would rather not do this. but you kind of have to do it. So what level are you doing it? And I think the injuries had a lot to do with them just doing the tap off, thudding type of format practice setup. But at the same time, like, I watched it and it was like a spring game. I mean, it wasn't that much different except they're tackling to the ground. So I get it from their aspect. If you're banged up at all, you're doing kind of the same thing. It's just maybe not what the fans want. And I think really the answer comes down, what do you want a spring game to be? Do you want it to be a celebration of your program, get the fans together, to throw the fans a bone, really, to have like this big event in April? Or is it just a thing, hey, if you want to come, we're out here practicing if you want to come see us. We're not going to market this very much, and it's not going to be this huge recruiting event for us because there's already so much – the portal coming up, there's already so much stuff going on. So I really just think it comes from where you're at as a program. And I think Kentucky's definitely taken the approach of we're not going to make this a big deal. This kind of just is what it is. If you want to come out here, we're going to have something. But we've got some bigger fish on our plate that we're trying to get fried up right now.
Adam Luckett, Kentucky Sports Radio, does a fantastic job. He and the entire KSR team talking all things Kentucky Wildcats. Adam, appreciate you taking the time, my friend. Let's definitely do this again soon.
Anytime, my man.
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.